Welcome back. In this lesson, we're going to build a percussion layer sequence in Ableton Live 12 that gives your jungle or old school DNB bassline some warm tape style grit. And just to be clear, this is not about stuffing more drums into the mix. It's about creating a moving, musical percussive layer that lives around the bassline, adds motion in the midrange, and makes the drop feel alive without stepping on the sub. This is a really useful technique in drum and bass, especially in jungle, rollers, and darker old-school-inspired tracks. The bassline often feels stronger when the percussion is designed to respond to it, almost like the groove is having a conversation with the low end. That's the vibe we're chasing here. We'll keep it beginner-friendly and use stock Ableton tools like Drum Rack, Simpler, Saturator, Drum Bus, EQ8, Auto Filter, Utility, and Groove Pool. By the end, you'll have a 4-bar or 8-bar support loop that sounds gritty, controlled, and properly DNB ready. First, set your project tempo somewhere around 172 BPM. Anything in the 170 to 174 range is perfect for this style. Start with a simple bassline first, because the percussion layer should be built around the bass rhythm, not just placed on top of it. Even a basic 2-bar bass phrase is enough. Think short notes, clear gaps, and a pattern that leaves breathing room. For example, you might have a note on beat 1, another on the end of 2, and a longer note leading into beat 4. If you already have a kick and snare groove or even a break looping underneath, that's great too. That gives you a real rhythmic frame to work against. Now create a new MIDI track and load Drum Rack. Keep this track separate from your main kick, snare, and drum bus. That separation matters, because it lets you shape this layer without messing up the main foundation. Inside Drum Rack, load just a few percussion sounds. You do not need a huge kit. In fact, fewer sounds usually works better here. Start with something like a rim, a closed hat, a small conga or tom, and one noisy texture hit or tiny break fragment. That's enough. The goal is support lanes, not full drums. You want this layer to occupy a narrow rhythmic and tonal space so the kick, snare, and sub can stay dominant. Use Simpler on each pad if you need to trim the samples. Make the hits short and tight. If a sample has a long tail, cut it down. If it feels too loose, shorten the start and tighten the envelope. In this style, the magic is often in the small, slightly imperfect hits. That worn, sampled character is part of the whole jungle feel. Now open a MIDI clip and program a 1-bar or 2-bar pattern. Keep it sparse enough that it can breathe. A good starting idea is to place hits around the bass line rather than directly on top of it. Try putting closed hats on off beats, rims on subdivisions before a bass note, and maybe one texture hit on beat 4 or the end of 4 to lift the loop back around. A simple rule here is this: if the bass line hits hard on beat 1 and beat 3, try putting percussion on the end of 1, the end of 2, the end of 3, and maybe a tiny fill at the end of the bar. That spacing creates movement without crowding the kick and snare. DNB grooves often feel fast because the rhythm is busy in the spaces between the big hits, not because every slot is full. This is also where velocity becomes really useful. Don't make every hit the same strength. Use velocity like expression, not just volume. Try an accent, then a ghost hit, then another accent. A little variation makes the loop feel sampled and human instead of robotic. Next, let's add some grit. Drop a saturator on the percussion track first. Start with a modest drive setting, maybe around 2 to 6 dB, and turn soft clip on. Then lower the output so the level stays balanced. The idea is warmth and edge, not harshness. After that, a drum bus. Keep the drive fairly subtle, maybe around 5 to 15%. If the hits are too sharp, back off the transient a little. Boom should usually stay very low or off for this kind of layer, because we do not want to add low-end weight here. A touch of crunch can be great, though keep it controlled. This combo gives you that worn, slightly hot, tape-style feel that works really well in jungle and old-school DNB. If the layer starts sounding brittle or fizzy, don't just keep distorting it harder. Pull back the drive and shape the sound with EQ instead. So now add EQ8. First thing, keep the low end out of the way. A high pass somewhere around 120 to 250 Hz is usually a smart move, depending on the samples you chose. If it feels boxy, dip a little around 300 to 500 Hz. If the top end gets sharp, gently reduce some of that 3 to 6 kHz area. And if you want a little more presence, a small boost around 1.5 to 3 kHz can help the hits cut through without making them louder in a bad way. Then add auto filter. This is where you can make the layer feel alive. A low pass filter can give you that more tape-dulled character, While a bandpass setting can make the layer feel thinner and more jungle-like, keep resonance modest. You're just shaping tone and movement, not creating a whistling effect. In the intro, close the filter a bit more. In the drop, open it slightly. In a fill or switch up, automate the filter open for a bar. Tiny filter moves go a long way. Now let's bring in groove. Open the groove pool and try a light swing or MPC style groove. Apply it gently, maybe around 20 to 50%. You want the percussion to breathe, not wobble all over the place. A bit of timing looseness and velocity variation can make the whole thing feel much more sampled and old school. If your main drums already have a lot of swing, use less here so the track stays tight. If you want even more authentic jungle character, add a tiny break fragment. This could be a ghosted snare, a hat, or a tiny tick from a break sample. You do not need a full break edit for this lesson. Just grab a small fragment, trim it tightly, and place it sparingly, maybe once every two or four bars. That little break detail can instantly make the groove feel more rooted in the style. Now listen to the bass line and percussion together and ask yourself where they can answer each other. This is the call and response part. If the bass line lands, maybe the percussion responds on the next offbeat. If the bass is busy in the first half of the bar, let the percussion fill the second half. If there's a beat where the bass drops out, maybe let the percussion step forward for a moment. That push and pull is a big part of what makes DNB feel animated. At this point, the layer should feel like a rhythmic partner, not a separate lead part. If it feels too obvious, lower it until you miss it when it's muted, rather than hearing it as an extra melody. If it feels weak, don't just turn it up. Try adding a little presence around 2kHz or adjusting the groove slightly. Now we can make the arrangement move. Add automation over 8 or 16 bars so the layer revolves instead of looping flat. A good simple move is to slowly open the auto filter cutoff as the section builds, then pull it back a little after the drop. You can also automate saturator drive by just a little bit for the second 8 bars, or add a touch more drum bus crunch in a switch up. Even tiny changes like that can make a loop feel like a real arrangement. Here's a practical structure you can try. Keep the percussion filtered and fairly low intensity for the first 8 bars. Open it a little more in the next 8 bars and add one extra ghost hit. Then make the full drop version with the strongest grit. After that, strip a few hits away for a more DJ-friendly reset. That kind of energy shaping is very natural in drum and bass. One really important check: listen in mono. Put utility on the percussion layer and temporarily switch to mono. If the groove still works, that's a great sign. In bass-heavy music, mono compatibility matters a lot. Check whether the percussion still supports the rhythm, whether it clashes with the bass harmonics, and whether it's louder than it needs to be. The layer should support the track, not fight it. If you want an even more pro move, commit early. Once the sequence feels good, resample it to audio. Audio makes it easier to chop, reverse, offset, and degrade the texture without constantly going back to MIDI. That's a classic drum and bass workflow, and it can give your percussion layer even more personality. A few common mistakes to avoid: don't make the layer too loud, don't leave too much low end in it, don't use too many sounds at once, and don't over distort the texture. Also, don't put percussion on every grid point. Leave gaps. The bass line needs room to breathe, especially in jungle and rollers. And don't ignore groove. Even a subtle amount of swing or human timing can transform a pattern from flat to alive. If you want a quick practice challenge, build a 4-bar percussion support loop using no more than 4 sounds. Include at least one ghost hit, add one saturation stage and one filtering stage, and make 2 versions, one cleaner and lighter and one dirtier and more degraded. Then mute the bass for a moment and see if the percussion still holds the groove. If it does, you've built something strong. So the big takeaway is this: build the percussion layer around the bass line. Keep the sounds short and mid-focused, use Ableton stock tools to add warmth and grit, and let small automation moves create motion over time. In DNB, the best percussion layers add tension, movement, and character without stealing the low-end spotlight. All right, now it's your turn. Build that layer, keep it tight, and let the groove breathe.